Good morning. Today is May the 13th, 2022. My name is Carlson Griffith and welcome to Time Watch Ministries. We continue our theme on church rebels, and today our subject is Church Rebels Part 4, The Devils and Hell. Today we'll explore biblically the truth about hell and its relationship to Satan and the other fallen angels. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word of truth. We know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. So bless us now that we may understand the truth that you've given us concerning their destiny. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. As we shared in previous messages on this theme, Lucifer was cast out of heaven by Michael onto the earth when he lost the political war in heaven. Having wrested dominion of the earth from Adam, Satan was given limited access to heaven as a representative of earth. Job 1:6 tells us, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." After suffering defeat at the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, dominion of the earth was restored to man through Jesus, and Satan was cast out the second time. The heavenly hosts have now seen the full extent of Satan's hatred and his ruling principles of selfishness through his exercise of fear, force, and greed. The angels are also rejoicing at the victory of Christ and defeat of Satan. Revelation 12, verse 10, 11 says, "And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them." So now Satan's ability to deceive and accuse is restricted to the earth, where his deceit and lies are fully directed at the human family. Revelation 12 and verse 12, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time." Satan has now so successfully created a cathedral of lies that much of Christendom believes that he is in charge of an underground area called hell, where the wicked who have died are being continually roasted, fried, and broiled for having not repented of their sins. So many on earth are taught this misrepresentation of God's character, as God is presented as a monster who will torture the wicked for infinity while having sinned for some finite period of time. Thus God is presented as having no sense of proportion in weighing punishment appropriate to a person's sin. In April 2019, in the state of Colorado, a 27-year-old man was convicted of killing four people when he lost control of his 18-wheeler while descending a hill. Due to the 27 counts of which he was charged and mandatory sentencing guidelines, he was sentenced to 110 years in jail. He sentenced that this was totally out of proportion to the accident. That's what it was. The backlash against the sentence was swift and wide-ranging. Truckers made commitments never to travel to Colorado to deliver needed food and other critical items. A petition signed by 5 million people asked for a change in the sentence, with a specific appeal to Jared Polis, the governor of Colorado, to change the sentence. The governor responded by reducing the sentence to 10 years, wiping 100 years off that initial judgment. This was the reaction of sinful human beings to an outrageous sentence. Yet, Christian people believe that our loving Heavenly Father will torture his creatures for untold millennia for having sinned against them. What a blot on God's character that Satan would have us believe. This idea of hell is a total fabrication of Satan, who continues his propaganda on earth to attack God's character and show his hatred of human beings. Let us now look at what the Bible reveals about hell and the real work of Satan and fallen angels on earth since his complete defeat at the hands of our Savior Jesus of Nazareth, who now continues his ministry as our high priest in the sanctuary above. But what is hell, and where is it? The word hell appears in the Bible 54 times with differing meanings as follows. 31 times in the Old Testament and 23 times in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word Sheol is used, which means the grave, the place in the ground where people are buried. That's all it means. Of the 23 times in the New Testament, there are three different Greek words used which are translated hell. 12 times, the Greek word Gehenna is used and refers to a place of burning. The reference was to a place south and west of Jerusalem where dead animals, garbage, and other refuse was burned. Fire burned continually, as incinerators now burns in modern sanitation dump sites. And so this indication or this definition of fire is indicative of what will happen in the last days for those who refuse to accept the wondrous kindness of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those fires that were burnt are completely burnt up. It's no longer continuing to this day. Now, 10 times the Greek word Hades is used, which means the grave, and corresponds to the Hebrew word Sheol, meaning the grave from the Old Testament. Now, one time, this one is important, one time the Greek word Tartarus is used and refers to a place of darkness, the deepest abyss of Hades, or hell, or the grave. This last word, Tartarus, as indicated, is only used once, and is the only word translated hell that is specifically associated with fallen angels, devils or demons, as we might call them. That scripture is 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, which says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, Tartarus, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." So let us look at a companion verse dealing with the fallen angels in Jude 1 and verse 6. "And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he had reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." As we compare these two scriptures, there are three words or phrases included in each text that describe the present conditions of the fallen angels, including Satan. The first word is used is reserved. The second phrase is chains of darkness. The third phrase, unto the judgment. Let us then look at the meaning of each of these descriptive terms that highlight the position and condition of fallen angels. Reserved. The Greek word tereo means to watch or guard from loss or injury by keeping an eye on, to detain in custody, to maintain. Therefore, the fallen angels are set aside or set apart or detained in custody for some special purpose. The second phrase, under chains of darkness. The word translated darkness is a Greek word zophos and means gloom, something shrouded by a cloud. It refers to deep darkness and hopelessness, to be sullen, dejected, and depressed, to be ill-tempered. To be emotionally chained in this way refers to a continual and perpetual depression without relief. If darkness was to be taken literally, we would expect demons to be restricted or chained to a particular location or area. However, demons are not restricted to any area, but are walking about the earth, carrying out acts of mischief and wickedness. Satan, for example, in his conversation with God in heaven, when asked where he came from, answered, he was going to and fro on the earth and walking up and down in it. Job 1 and verse 7. So they are moving about. Unto, the third phrase, unto or until judgment. This phrase refers to the specific event to which the fallen angels have been reserved. With a deep sense of gloom and depression, these one-time holy, pure, and perfect beings are tormented by what the judgment holds for them. In the book of James, chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, in the Living Bible, it states, "Are there some among you who hold that only believing is enough? believing in one God? Well, remember, the demons believe this also so strongly that they tremble in terror. Fool, when will you ever learn that believing is useless without doing what God wants you to? Faith that does not result in good deeds is not real faith. The demons believe and tremble due to an unchangeable destiny. Many of us also believe and tremble, not because of a hopeless gloom as experienced by the devils, but a nagging gloom based on unwillingness to submit to God, to resist the devil, and have him flee from us. We want to be Christians, but do not now choose daily to be Christians. We want to be covered by the blood, but do not choose to overcome through the blood. We run away from temptation, hoping that it will catch up with us. The promise to us of sharing our future crown is now offered to us by sharing his present power, as stated by Christ to the Laodicean church in Revelation 3, verse 21. To him that overcomes, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. The demons have no hope, but we do. If we accept the freedom and joy that comes from beholding Christ, who died for us and freely offers these gifts of joy and freedom, let us commit to and practice the grace-assisted goals of self-denial, cross-bearing, and following the Lamb of God wherever he leads. In Matthew 8, verse 28 to 31, the fallen angels themselves confirm the truths outlined in 2 Peter 2, verse 4 and Jude 1, verse 6. Here's what it says. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of God? Are you come here to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast it out, suffer or permit us to go away into the herd of swine. We are given more details about this incident in the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 6 to verse 13, where it says, Jesus asked the demon his name. He replied that his name was Legion. Now, a Roman legion was between 3,000 and 6,000 men. This is how many demons inhabit the body of one or two men. The demons were allowed to enter 2,000 swine, which they then drove into the sea, where they drowned. Matthew 25, verse 41, Jesus pointed out the destiny of the demons who rejected and humans who will reject his offer of mercy, saying, Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So these demons are aware that they are being reserved to suffer the everlasting fires of damnation for which they are reserved. We'll look at that word everlasting a little later in this message. Knowing that the time for the execution of the judgment had not arrived, the time of Jesus, they asked him if he had come to torment them before the time. The chains of darkness, as we have read, represent a state of apprehension waiting for the fulfillment of their destiny. It almost makes you feel sorry for them, if not for their unrelenting onslaughts of suffering and misery which they unleash unceasingly upon all living beings upon the earth, even swine. But most importantly, what we learn from these scriptures is that Satan and his fallen angels are not stoking the fires of some imaginary furnace where the wicked who have died are currently suffering and will suffer throughout eternity. We now turn to those biblical terms which have been used to promote the idea of the never-ending pain to the lost. The four terms used to justify this diabolical idea are eternal, everlasting, forever, and unquenchable fires. The word eternal, when used to describe or discuss members of the Godhead or their characteristics, means without end. For example, Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27 says, The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, dealing with the same word eternal, it says, And this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Whenever the word eternal is used to describe creatures, whether angels or the living creatures, eternal refers to an outcome and result, not duration of time. For example, the eternal fire of Sodom and Gomorrah, referenced in Jude 1:7, it says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. That is identical to and equals ashes of Sodom and Gomorrah, which is in 2 Peter 2, verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. So the fires of Sodom and Gomorrah have ceased burning because ashes are the effect, outcome, and result of the activity of fire. Let us apply the same principle to the word everlasting. When used to describe or discuss members of the Godhead or their characteristics, everlasting means without end. For example, Psalms 90, verse 1 and 2. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. That is, God has no beginning or ending. Now, speaking of the birth of Jesus Christ, Micah 5:2 says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been from of old, from everlasting. So everlasting here, never ending. Let's look at some scriptures that shows that everlasting has a limit. When used to describe creatures, whether angels or other living beings, everlasting refers to outcome or result, not duration of time. When Jesus says to the disobedient in Matthew 25:41, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, he refers to the effect the fire has on the devil and its duration. We want to quote Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 14 to 18 for context, but the effect of the fires on the devil is in verse 18, is what God says about Lucifer, who became Satan. You are the anointed cherub that covers, and I have set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of you with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast you as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fires, from midst of the stones of fire. Verse 17. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings that they may behold you. Now verse 18. You have defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your traffic. Therefore, will I bring forth a fire from the midst of you? It shall devour you, and I will bring you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold you. So according to this scripture, Satan will be reduced to ashes on the earth, not left suffering and being tormented in a never-ending burning. We now apply the same principle to the word forever. When used to describe or discuss members of Godhead, as we've said, it means without end. For example, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, but unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. And again, in Revelation 5 and verse 13, with this word forever, it says, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessings and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. However, when this word forever is used to describe creatures, living beings, it refers to outcome or result. For example, the service of Samuel all the days of his life brought to view in 1 Samuel 1, verse 11, equals or is identical to the service of Samuel forever in 1 Samuel 1:22. So let's read 1 Samuel 1 and verse 11. And she vowed a vow and says, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and not forget your handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. So she will devote or commit to giving her son Samuel all the days of his life. But now in that same chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 22, here's what it says. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. So all the days of his life in verse 11 is equivalent to abiding forever. Again, it is limited and restricted. The word forever is used extensively in the book of Leviticus concerning the various sacrifices and feasts, which all came to an end when Jesus died on the cross, was resurrected, and went to heaven. An example is found in Leviticus 23:10-14, which talks about the first fruits being offered, which is then fulfilled and recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20. Finally, the term unquenchable fire, used by John the Baptist, referenced in Matthew chapter 3, verse 12, where it reads, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Here John describes the final destruction of the wicked. In Jeremiah 17, verse 27, God predicted that he would burn Jerusalem with fire that would not be quenched. We read, but if you will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. So the fires of Jerusalem would be devoured and not be quenched. However, 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 19 to 20, records that Jerusalem was burned with fire by the Babylonians to fulfill the words of Jeremiah. We read, and they burnt the house of God, and brake down all the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. To fulfill, this is verse 21, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Jerusalem still exists with us in the land of Israel. Is the unquenchable fire that destroyed Jerusalem still burning today? Clearly, unquenchable means that the fire will not be quenched until nothing is left to be burnt. There certainly are many other scriptures that are used to support the false idea that our loving Heavenly Father will burn sinners throughout eternity, such as the continuing lie and deception of Satan to hide the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. The wicked will be destroyed and will be permanent. The wicked will be destroyed and there will be left neither root nor branch. They will then face with that fire the full wrath of God and experience the second death, which is the love of God without Christ. Loving Father, we thank you again for your words of truth, which are able to build us up, strengthen us that we may fight the fight of faith and fight the fight of faith successfully. Bless us to this end as we continue to seek your face and know you more and more. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.